Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading, Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. Well, how many of you remember the first time that you went to worship or to Sunday school? Well, do you have any particular memories about that? Well, for me, I've got a couple that stand out above the rest. One was Mrs. Thuvenel. Now, she was my Sunday school teacher when I was 4 years old. Now, as I recall, she was a very nice lady. But when my mom, who happened to be the Sunday school superintendent, would come by after Sunday school to come pick me up, more often than not that she would find me sitting in a chair all by myself. Turns out that I had the habit of, talking a lot and pass that trait on to one or two of my kids. And because of that, I would have to sit down by myself, or if there was an activity they were doing that I didn't want to do, that would put me there by myself as well. The other one is this. It was Vacation Bible School, and at the church I was at, they had, tons of kids who were there, and they had all these steps out in the front of the church, like right out here outside the narthex, leading up to the church, and so all the kids would be up there. And there was this young man on the front left up there as they were taking the picture. He was pulling his cheeks apart and sticking out his tongue. Now, they happened to print that particular picture in the bulletin the next Sunday. And there was a caption that down below it that read, it's like, the young man on the left will remain nameless due to his close association with one of our deacons. It was a good thing we were in church when my parents saw me in that picture. Yeah. But it was the habit of my parents, though, to be in worship every Sunday, regular worship. And that's a good thing, because that's where we learn about Jesus. And as Paul puts it, it's like faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of Jesus Christ. Well, in our text today, in our Old Testament lesson, in our gospel reading, we've got some families there in the stories there, in those scripture readings. Now, both of them each have their own unique perspective that they bring to us and we learn about. But for today, we're going to focus the one family in our gospel reading. Now, this family here in our gospel reading, they are faithful followers of our Lord. They know the law well. They know that 40 days after the birth of their first son, they need to go in and offer a sacrifice. They go to the temple to do this. You see, what this is a reminder of that last plague before Pharaoh let children of Israel go. And what was that last plague? That was the death of the firstborn child. And so the children of Israel, what did they have to do to be spared of this plague? They had to sacrifice a lamb. Remember, and they put the blood of the lamb there on the doorpost so that the angel of death would pass over their house so that that firstborn son would be spared. Now, they celebrate that Passover event. But on a family level, the couple has to do something in particular for their firstborn son as a reminder of what happened back there during Passover. What they need to do is to offer a sacrifice to redeem, to buy back their son from the Lord. Again, it's all to serve as a reminder about how the Lord God spared the firstborn sons of Israel. So for the family then, they need to come and present their son before the Lord and offer a sacrifice on behalf of their son. Now, something about this family as they come forward here, it says there in our gospel reading that they offered a pair of turtle doves or pigeons, That's what they were to do. Now, what you don't know and what's important about that particular statement in our gospel reading for today is that's what the poor offered to the Lord. Because what they were supposed to do is, one, sacrifice a lamb, a one-year-old lamb, and then bring a pigeon. The lamb was for the son to buy back, and the pigeon was for a sin offering. And so if you didn't have enough money, it was okay then to bring in two doves or two pigeons. And what do we have here? This particular family here, obviously they're poor because they're not offering what would be the traditional sacrifice. So what does this tell us here? This tells us one thing. The Lord God doesn't care how much money you have in your checking account. Doesn't matter if you have a lot. Doesn't matter if you have a little. He takes you as you are. So he gives them the opportunity there to provide a sacrifice that's acceptable to him regardless of what your income is. And so here we have this family bringing in a couple of pigeons, turtle doves, showing that, hey, they're on the lower income of the income scale. So they come to the temple area with their 40-day-old son, Jesus, to offer the proper sacrifice. Now, I'm sure when they're going in there, they're following the law. They're happy to do this. They're excited to do this because, indeed, they are following the law. And so they get in there to do that. Not unlike baptizing our children here, okay? Same kind of idea, coming here before the Lord. And then this old guy comes and takes the child from the parents. Now, think about this. New family, baby is 40 days old, and this guy comes and takes the baby from mom. Now, I'm sure dad was ready to intervene here. It's like, what are you doing? But kind of like at church there, you know, they're in the temple area. Oh, they're probably giving this guy a little bit of slack, okay? Letting him do that kind of thing. Now, we learn this guy's name is Simeon, okay? He's filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit had told him that he would not die until he saw the consolation of Israel. Now, for us, we always think of consolation as like, well, that's for the loser, all right? You know, they get the prize for coming in second place, like the 49ers will have today, all right? I'm sorry, I had to get that in. But you see here, though, consolation, when it's referring to Jesus here, this is referring to the fact this is how God is going to save his children, through this one. They're going to have forgiveness of sins. You see, it's an amazing thing that he's doing here. He's talking about the salvation of Israel is in this child. And those words can be only one thing. That means that this child is the Messiah, the chosen one, the Christ. Here's how the words say in our gospel reading today. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. Now for Simeon, a promise was kept. He got to see the Messiah before he died. And so he says, okay, Lord, you can come get me now anytime you want, because I have seen the salvation of Israel, the one who's going to save Israel. But not just Israel. What else did he say? A light for revelation to the Gentiles. This one who is to come is not just for the Jews, but he's for everybody, for all people. Now, mom and dad, oh, they had to be picking up their jaws off the floor by this time. This man who they have no clue about who he is, he may have a reputation, but still they're just like, what? This guy has come in here, taken their child, blessed the child, and also prophesied about what this child's going to do. Now, clearly, he's going to be someone special. They already knew that. They already knew that this child was special just on how he was conceived. God was all part of that. And Dad, Joseph here, well, he knows his son and what name he was to give him, Jesus. Because he was going to save his people from their sins. He gets a reminder here that his son, his 40-day-old son, will do that very thing. Now the question for them is how? How is he going to save them from their sins? Well, we who've been coming to worship, well, we know all about that, okay? Our epistle lesson today explains a little bit about that. That Christ, this Messiah, this Savior, came in the flesh to do that very thing. And then there's that church word that's in there. It's kind of hard to pronounce. Propitiation. Okay? Nobody ever uses that word. All right? But what does it mean? It means that this is the exact thing necessary to appease God. All right? The exact thing that needs to happen. That right sacrifice by that person who was perfect, who never sinned, that's the propitiation. He's the exact sacrifice. That's Jesus. And in order for that to take place there, in order for forgiveness of sins to be earned, well, he needed to shed his blood. And that he did on the cross, earning forgiveness of sins. So he, the perfect person, became the perfect sacrifice. Now why? Well, he's offering up his life on behalf of sinners. And as we learn there from Simeon, not just for the Israelites, but also for the Gentiles too. He came to take away the sins of the world. You see, we who have come, who had our parents bring us to church and worship and learn in Sunday school, understand why he came. For all those timeouts and all those disobedient acts and all those times in which we stuck our tongue out to the Lord God and his word. Well, they all need to be punished. Well, and there are times in which, quite frankly, we don't care. You know, we think the sins that we do in private, God doesn't see. Our attitude is not a good attitude, like the children heard about. Our attitude is rather selfish. We wanted to do the things that we want to do. But the trouble is that God sees our sins, whether they be public or private. And it doesn't matter the venue or attitude, the punishment is still the same. We deserve death and punishment in hell forever. But that's where the love of God comes in to intervene in this 40-day-old child whose parents brought him to the temple to fulfill the law, who grew up to be the very Lamb of God to take away the sins of the Jews and Gentiles alike. He came for you and me. He came so that we might have peace with God. And indeed, we do have peace with God, a peace that lasts forever. Simeon. He got to check out with that peace. And one day we will too. Simeon's prayer. Okay? Lord, let me now depart in peace. Well, we call that by a Latin name, the Nuctamenis. In fact, we'll be singing that here in our worship. And what does that mean? The Latin means, now you dismiss. You see, that's something that we can take comfort in. Because what it means is that, Lord, you know, we believe. We know that your son Jesus died for us. So when that time comes, we can be dismissed in peace, knowing what? That our sins are forgiven and that we have the hope of everlasting life. Why? Because of the love of God that was shown in that 40-day-old boy who grew up and died and rose yet again so that we might be a part of the Father's heavenly family all of our days. You know, when I went to the seminary, my mom called up Mrs. Thuvenel. She was still alive. She was like 97, I think. She said, hey, you know, John, oh, I remember John. I don't want to know what she remembered about me. But anyway, she remembered it. She said, you know, that, hey, he's going to the seminary, and she thought that was all very good. You know, I laughed when my mom said that, but sometimes it takes a while. It takes a while for that love of the Father to sink into us, where we finally come to understand truly what that means and how much our God loves us. But when it does sink in, it means a lot, because it means so very much for our future. Because there will be a day when we're dismissed from this life, but when we leave, those hands that should have been given us a swat because of our sins, rather because of our faith, we're forgiven. Those same hands are going to be hugging us, saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Why? Because of the love of Jesus Christ shown to us. Amen. Now may the peace of God surpasses all human understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.